Well, he's worthy, isn't he? Can you imagine being a part of that scene one day in heaven and being one of the blood-washed throng? As we march and as we sing, as those that are redeemed, blood-bought by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, he's worthy far more and above that which we all can offer. But he is worthy. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Good crowd here today. Thankful for as many blessings. I'm thankful we serve a God that answers prayers, aren't you? Thinking this morning of a story I'd heard. It was an illustration, I guess, from years ago from another preacher about a young boy who went with his parents to a revival meeting. And a preacher preached that night and, of course, had the altar call and everything. They went home. And they're driving home. They noticed their boy, about 7, maybe 8 years old. He was being very quiet and just staring and looking out the window, you know, in the dark as everything is driving by. And you can see the shadows of the trees and the mountains and everything that was round about. And one of the parents, the mother, noticed and said, "Well, son, are you all right?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm okay." He said, "What you thinking so about?" And the little boy said, "Do you remember tonight how when the preacher was preaching, he mentioned that you could pray to the Lord and you talk about having such faith that we could say into this mountain that can be thy removed, be plucked up and be count and cast into the sea?" And they said, "Yeah, son, we remember that." He said, "You reckon that means that if that mountain out over there, God's able to take it up and turn around and move it and get it out of the way?" We may think that's kind of funny or so, but that was the faith of a child, that God is able to take mountains, and he's able to take and move it. No matter what obstacle you're facing today, how insurmountable it may be, how difficult it may be, a financial problem, it could be a physical problem, but God is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that we would ever imagine or dream if we'd but have the faith of even a child, a God able to do it. Thankful that we have a Father who listens to our prayers. We have the Son who sits at the right hand to make an intercession for us. Let's continue to be in prayer, of course, for Pastor, as mentioned there this morning. I'm sure he's tuned in by way of Facebook and as those other ones that are out there today. But thankful for the opportunity that we've got this morning to come and be in the Lord's house. If you would, this morning for a few minutes, as the Lord allows us there, if you look with me in the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 33. The book of Ezekiel in chapter number 33. We'll start reading in verse number 1. And if you would, when you find your place, if you would, stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 33 and verse number 1. The Word says this, "And again the Word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear of the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked man from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." For just a few minutes this morning, as the Lord allows us there, so think about the thought of the need for a watchman. Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious and dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to be gathered back in your house here this morning. Father, we thank you for your sweet spirit. Father, we thank you for your tender love, your mercy, and your grace. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for salvation, Lord, that we don't have to worry about a devil's hell, but we have eternity to spend with you. Father, I pray that you forgive us, dear Lord, for our sins and times we have failed you. Lord, take the reading of your word here this morning, bless it and use it as you see fit. Just take the reins of the service, that all things be done according to thy will. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and honor for all things. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. A watchman It's not something you hear spoken of much nowadays. A part of it, of course, is an older concept in days gone by. There, of course, in the days back in the time that this was written and all the way through the Middle Ages, Dark Ages, there was going to be a system in place, if you will, that they would use a watchman to keep an eye over a town or a village. It was a time when the cities that have great importance had great big walls fenced around them there, and there was always going to be somebody in the gatehouse or perhaps in a tower or someone that's going to be upon the wall somewhere that is fulfilling the role of the watchman. Someone who was going to keep an eye scanning the horizon. It was their job and their duty to watch those that were coming and going, to watch and scout out that they might see a threat that might arise and come and threaten their village or town and their homes and their family. Their task was, whenever they saw the danger, they would go and they would blow the trumpet or perhaps even ring a bell. They would begin to sound the alarm and the warning so that those around about the area could flee and come and get inside the city and behind the walls of protection. They would let them know so that the soldiers can go get their weapons, get their armor, man their posts on the wall and be ready to fight the enemy at such time as they may come. Or those that are there could go and shelter in a place where they can escape any harm that comes. It was the watchman's job to provide that warning, to provide them with the alert they needed that the enemy was on the way. We see, first of all, this morning, we see the duty of the watchman in 3 and 4. It said, if when he seeth a sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. We saw, as we talked briefly this morning, we saw in verse 3, that we've talked about the duty of the watchman. He's got a post. He's got a place he's supposed to be found at whenever the job or the task is required of him. He is to stand guard and keep watch over those that are there. He's part of that duty there. He's also supposed to respond to whenever those threats come around. He's not supposed to be like, oh, look at that. Boy, it looks like there's a big dust cloud on the horizon. Boy, it looks like there's an army coming with swords and spears and shields and ready to come in and do some harm and then turn around and run away. No, he stays at his post. He stays there and stands guard and begins to shout the warning out, begins to let them know that there is a threat that's on its way. We see that whenever he does that, the people then have a responsibility to act as well. It says if they hear that, they've got the chance to flee, they've got the chance to prepare, they've got the responsibility to listen to the watchman is there. But also we see that there are those that listened, that they went out to do what was supposed to have done there, but there also are some of those that heard the warning, didn't take heart. And we see that they run the risk of falling to the sword, of falling to the threat that was there. The watchman has done his duty. It is going to be blameless of it. So the watchman, as we think about this morning, you and I are meant to be watchmen of Christ. This world has got threats round and round about. You don't have to look far to see the things and the wickedness that's in this world that will love to go after your children, that will love to go after your home, that will love to go after your community, that will love to go after your church, that will love to go after your pastor. There are threats and things that are out there. We're meant to be watchmen standing guard. We're meant to blow the trumpet, shout out to the world that there is a threat that is out and about. But let them know that there also is a Savior. Let them know that there is the one who's able to save them and bring the protection if they'll come running back to the city and find the shelter in His arms that's there. We see the duty of the watchman this morning. We also see the dereliction by the watchman. In verse number 6, it says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. If you notice in this verse, it doesn't say that the watchman was absent from his post, as we might want to tend to think. Or maybe he was leaned up against the wall or sitting in a chair and had fallen asleep, and maybe the watch of the night and the enemy is going to steal in. But it says, and if the watchman see the sword come. I believe it's a little bit of a distinction and a difference we see this morning. The watchman sees the danger, but either through negligence or perhaps even willfully fails to blow the warning and sound the trumpet. He has had a dereliction of his duty. Willfully not done what he was supposed to do. And the sword come, of course, when no warning is sounded, there's not going to be the alarm that goes out. Let the outlying people know that there's a threat. Not give them those precious few minutes they may have to seek out safety and shelter within the walls of the city. And the blood's going to be required at the watchman's hand. Not upon those, because no warning ever went out. The watchman is going to be held accountable for their actions. We see the duty of the watchman, the dereliction of the watchman. But also notice this warning, verse number 7, the divine appointment of the watchman. Verse 7 says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." Throughout this chapter, and often throughout the book of Ezekiel, you'll see repeatedly that God is referring to and reminding Ezekiel that he is a son of man. He's flesh and blood, just like the rest. There's nothing that's going to be particularly special about his social status. There's anything that's there because he's still just as vulnerable as the rest of them. He's still bound by the same sinful robe of flesh as the ones that are there. His humanity is a common bond to those he is to warn. His own mortality, and that should be also that being a watchman for God, we should realize the grace of God and what God has done for us should be a driver and a motivator to sound the alarm, to sound the warning, let other people know that there is safety, that there is security, that there is grace that can be found by coming to the Lord and not away from Him. The divine appointment, also notice that as we think about this divine appointment, He wasn't chose by man. You know, verse number two said, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast." See, it was commonplace for them to take a watchman to watch their city. God's saying, "I'm making you a watchman, and I'm going to appoint you as a watchman. You're not being called by man, not being called by a committee, not being called by, you know, a parent or a grandparent, or called out by this, that, and the other, but a divine appointment. I believe we as Christians have got a divine commandment that we're supposed to be a watchman to a lost and a dying world. Ezekiel was divinely appointed by God to be the watchman for the children of Israel. Furthermore, we also look in the middle of this verse. It said, "I have set thee a watchman of the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth." It's a divine appointment, and God himself is going to be with him there. This right here is reminiscent, makes you think almost of Moses. When he went before, of course, God called him out. He turned to the burning bush and saw everything that was there, and God began to speak to him. And one of the excuses, he's like, I can't speak. I can't talk. What God say? I'm going to be with thy mouth. He's going to give the words that he needed to say. God can do that for you. You may wonder sometimes about not having the words to say, not knowing exactly how to approach a given situation or a certain situation. But if we have faith in God, have the faith even as that small child, He can take and move mountains. He can make the dumb speak. He can give us the fluency of words that we need, the things that we need to go and speak. Furthermore, He gives us the instruction we find right here in the Word. We know that the gospel message is here that we're able to share with the lost and the dying world. He gives us the things that we need to say. We know Ezekiel did that which he was commanded to do. He went out and he was going to be the word. He was going to be the prophet that God wanted him to be to warn the children of Israel of the things that was going to fall to them. Certainly we can think of ourselves. If we looked even to the New Testament more recently, if you recall in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, what did the very beginning of the verse say? It said, "Preach the word." He's given us the word that we need to be sounding out to the world and letting them know what's going on. We saw this morning there's a duty for a watchman. We saw that there's the risk and the great punishment, if you will, the dereliction of the watchman. We see that there's a divine appointment of the watchman. Nextly this morning, as we think about the dearth of the watchman. You may say, well, the dearth of the watchman, what do you mean? Where are the watchmen of today? Where are they at? Where is the trumpet being sounded from? If we look across our nation, there's a lack of spiritual watchmen. There's a threat that's out there breathing down the doors, waiting for any opportunity to infiltrate your life, your family, your home, your church, your community. It's already infiltrated our nation. Has been for years, and we know that it's getting worse and it's worse. We need spiritual watchmen today. Those that are ready to take up the post, to stand guard, be a prayer warrior, to keep an eye out, watch out for their brothers and sisters in Christ, to let the lost world know that there is a hell to lose and that there is a heaven to gain, that there is a sin unto death, but there is a Savior who paid the price for life eternal. Do any of us, as we've mentioned there, there's a dereliction of duty, do any of us have blood upon our hands? The times that we know that we should have spoken to someone. Let them know that God gives us the opportunity that's there. Just yesterday morning, I had a chance to listen to the radio, listen to the broadcast. I don't remember which preacher it was that was on. And he was talking about how the Christians and we as Christian people should conduct ourselves and to begin to talk about specifically about the part of how that the servants should respect the masters, and how that even in the public workplace, in a secular job, wherever we're at, we should do everything there to our fullest ability and glory, because we should be as though we're working for Him as the master, not an earthly one. If on the workplace, do they know that we are a Christian? If we've been in a length of time and we lived a godly life, exemplified Him, they ought to know that we are. If we've been in the schools, wherever He's put us at, do people know that you're a Christian there? Do people know that you're a Christian in your family? God will provide us with the opportunities that we need to go and be a witness for Him. We have to ask ourselves, if we had the blood in our hands, those opportunities that come up, and for whatever reason, whether it be because we were scared, we didn't know exactly what we needed to say, perhaps we just didn't see the situation that was there, we missed the tenderness and the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but those opportunities come whenever God gives us the chance to be a witness. And we let it walk on by and pass and miss an opportunity. Are there blood in our hands? We think about, as we've already mentioned, where are the watchmen of our nation? Where are the watchmen of our communities and towns? Where is the watchmen of our churches? Where is the watchmen of our families and friends and loved ones? Just this morning, we was listening to the song by C.T. Townsend. It kind of came to my mind. I had to play it just so we could listen to it this morning, of how we need to be doing it for the children's sake and for nothing else. Parents, grandparents, those of you that have the little ones, that I heard it mentioned, my wife said this morning, how that you can't take things to heaven. You can only take people with you. Who are we being the witness to? Who are we setting the example for? What are we allowing to creep in to our homes, that the kids hear, that they may see that's out there? There is a lot that can be said, and a lot of good can come from the world of Facebook. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to have an online ministry through here, that there's all kinds of preaching that's out there to be seen, but there's also plenty of the online world that's being used by the devil and all the ones that are out there to try to win the hearts and the minds of those that are in your family. And if an opportunity comes along, we see that something that's wrong, and maybe you thought, I don't want to create a mess, I don't want to cause a big fuss around that's here, but you as a watchman have a responsibility to say, hey, there's a problem that's here. It's a danger. It's going to lead you down a path that you don't want to go. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, make you pay more than that you want to pay. Children, teenagers, those that are here, don't despise the advice and the leadership of your parents. Listen to what they have to say. I remember hearing this when I was growing up as a teenager, and I'm sure most of us did at some point in time, when your parents would say that to tell you to do a certain thing or do a certain way. Why? Because they've been there. They've done that. They likely have already suffered some of the same heartache that you are, that they're trying to keep you from even going into. Listen to their counsel. If they're giving good, godly, and wise counsel, listen to it. Don't discard it, but listen to what is there. Where are the watchmen today? Perhaps one of the most convicting verses in the Bible is James chapter 4, verse number 17. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Not everyone I know this morning is meant to be a preacher. Not everyone's meant to go out and be a Sunday school teacher or deacon or a missionary. But I believe each and every person has got a place and a calling in their life that God wants them to be at that specific moment, so that He can use you for His honor and His glory. He's going to put you where He wants you to be at just the right moment. And it may be that He's put you in the position of being the watchman, and He has allowed your spiritual eyes to get a glimpse of a threat on the horizon that threatens your home, that threatens your family, that threatens your community, maybe threatens your church. And He's given you opportunity to sound the trumpet, to sound the alarm, to let them know, hey, we need to be in prayer about this thing. Hey, we need to take a step back from this direction that we're going in. Hey, that's going to be something that gives your life, is going to take you in a direction you don't need to go. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Are we being the watchman that God would have us to be? The book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is known as the Great Commission. It didn't say, go and sit down and not do too much and just kind of hang out and come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, sing a little bit, listen to the preaching, and then you can go home and you can sit down and relax and watch TV or do YouTube or do all the things throughout the week, and then come back on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, do the same thing. He said, go. That denotes an action. We should be the watchmen at every opportunity that we are given there. We need to be the watchman that God would have us to be. We need to be the one that's there. If you go to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Great passage of scripture. So much truth, the book of Romans. I know pastors preach through it, and I've heard many a sermon through it. It's so full of doctrine. Romans chapter number 10, there's some of the verses here that was even used by the evangelist whenever he led me to the Lord. Romans chapter number 10, verse 6 says this, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, believed? Or how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We've been given the answer to pretty much all the world's problems right here. We just read across the last bit of the Romans road for salvation, and how simple it is for someone to come to know Christ if they will but take that moment and believe that God had sent his Son to this earth. He shed his blood on the cross for our sins. He is worthy. He rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, offered that blood sacrifice upon the mercy seat of heaven, upon the Holy of Holies that was there, and said he's paid it all. And each and every one of us that's a child of God knows that. We have much to be thankful for and thanking him for salvation. But how dare we keep that to ourselves? Why would we not want to share it with a lost and dying world? Why would we not go upon the wall and upon the rooftops, the tower, wherever God has put us in position to there, and we can blow the trumpet, ring the bells, and be like, hey, I'm here to tell you that there's something better than what this world can offer. Hey, I'm here to tell you that you can try to find peace and happiness in alcohol or in the drugs, or you can put X, Y, and Z in the blank, but there we know that the Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way to salvation. We've got that to share with a lost and a dying world. So ask this morning, there's a need for some watchmen. Where are the watchmen? Are we doing all and truly all what God would have us to be? Are we seeing those threats come in our homes, in our own lives even? It's coming to our communities and wherever the place may be, and are we actually taking the time to deal with it? To pray about it? Are we actually going to take and do some action on it? Or are we just going to negligently and have that dereliction of duty and not do what God would have us to do? Therefore, to him that doeth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's a need for some watchmen today more than ever. In my short lifetime, I've been amazed at just how much has changed. I had the privilege of going to a Christian school, and it was a wake-up call a little bit whenever I got to the workplace and started working on a public job, but then I became immediately thankful that I was not in the environments that some other people had grown up in, or the environments that was even present on the work side and on the job that was there. But that still didn't excuse from the fact that we had opportunity to share the gospel and to invite people to church and do the things that was there. There's a need for watchmen. Maybe you're listening this morning. Maybe you're on the other end of this. Maybe someone in your family or the church, wherever it may be, has been speaking to you and warning you, trying to be a witness to you that you needed to be saved, that you needed to leave that thing alone that you're getting a hold of. It's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go, and you've not been listening to the warnings of the watchman. We know what it says back in our text, back in Ezekiel, it said, he heard a round of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. Those in your family, those in your life have done their job, their responsibility is no longer on them. It is now on you to react accordingly to the warning and the alarm that has been given to you. This morning we all have to decide where we're going to go, what we're going to do. Are we going to be the watchman? Myself included. I pray that the Lord will help us to be the watchman and take care of the opportunities whenever we run across it. And not all of us, I understand, will get the same opportunity, but if we've got a willing heart, God will give us opportunities. Years ago, there was a preacher and had his wife, and his wife had some health problems. She couldn't really go very far, couldn't do a whole lot, so she was home a lot of times as he would go out and work the fields and visit and preach and do many, many things. But she was a prayer warrior. She always prayed for her husband. She always prayed for the church and did many things there, but she did a little bit more than that. She knew she couldn't get out, she couldn't drive, or couldn't do any of the things that was there, but she prayed that God would give her the opportunity to witness to some souls. You know, every week, about a half a dozen people or so, they don't see that too often nowadays, but there'd be somebody come to the door. Hey, I'm here about selling a vacuum cleaner. Hey, I'm not interested in the vacuum cleaner, but can I tell you something? Hey, I wanted to see if you wanted to buy some of these books that I've got. Well, could I offer you something else? Could I tell you about someone by the name of Jesus? And week after week, people would come to the door. The Lord would send her people to her door, and she got the opportunity from her own house to be a witness, and she got the opportunity to be a watchman from there. And she began to see the fruit of labors that some would accept Christ, not all, but she did what was required of her. She had a heart that was willing to do what God would have her to do. If we're willing to do what God wants us to do, He'll give us the opportunity. If we'll pray after it, have the faith of that child, He'll give us the chance. If someone come to the instruments there this morning, as we think about the need for a watchman, are we doing what we need to do for the Lord? Are we going to do what He would have us to do in the time that's there? Maybe, just maybe, you're on the other end of this and God's been using someone in your life to speak to you. Maybe you need to come up this morning. As you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if the Lord's spoken to you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray about being the watchman that God would have you to be. Maybe you just need to come this morning. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you need to know the salvation. You know, don't put it off any longer. Today is the day of salvation. There have been those, and it's been preached in this church. I've heard it a lot the past couple of years. Even before we started coming to church here, the gospel message has been preached. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. As those are coming there, if the Lord spoke this morning, the altar's open. Oh, Father, Lord, we thank You once again for this opportunity and chance we have You back in Your house here this morning. Father, we're thankful for all the things that You've done for us, Lord, the safety in traveling, Lord, the health and all the things that You've given to us. Dear Lord, Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy and grace, but most of all, God, we thank You for salvation. Lord, forgive us now for the times that we should have blown the trumpet. Lord, that we should have made the warning to those that were around us whenever that danger came about, when we should have been pronouncing the gospel. Lord, forgive us for neglecting our duty. But God, help us going forward, Lord, to always be ready. Lord, to be prepared. Lord, to listen, to speak, and use those opportunities that You'd give to us to say the words that You need to say. Lord, ready to proclaim the gospel message to a lost and a dying world. Help us, Lord, to be the folks that You would have us to be. Father, I pray that You continue to bless the church. Lord, bless each and everyone that's gathered here this morning or listening by way of internet. Father, Lord, I pray that You continue to have Your hand upon Pastor this morning. Touch him in a great and a mighty way, we do pray. And Father, please be with those this morning that may be lost, listening either here in person, Lord, by way of the internet, that You would convict them, dear Lord, that You would touch their heart, that You would draw them unto You before it's everlasting too late. And Father, we thank You for everything that You have done for us. Father, thank You for what You're currently doing for us. And God, we thank You for those promises of the things that You are going to do for us as well. Lord, we thank You again for all things. We love You, Lord Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.